where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And now it is time for Giuseppe Grammatico with GG, thefranchiseguide.com. Welcome, Giuseppe. We've been talking quite a bit already, but we haven't talked about your company. So tell us all about what you're doing.
So GG, the franchise guide, Giuseppe Grammatico is a mouthful, so we went with the initials. So if you've ever worked with a executive recruiter where they kind of help you find that perfect job, we do the exact same thing on the franchise side. So we really help individuals figure out if franchising and business ownership may be a good fit. And if it is, what does that ideal franchise look like? And our rates are the same as an executive recruiter. There's no fee to you. So we're paid by the franchise company. So we really, I think, help a lot of people escape that W-2. But at the same time, we talk a lot of people off the ledge and maybe having them keep their job, because entrepreneurship is definitely not for everyone.
So what makes for a good franchisee, I guess?
You know, we always say there's three things. You want to be coachable and be able to follow a process. So the joke and the example I give is you don't buy a McDonald's to go in and change the menu. You're going to follow that menu, that system that actually works. You need capital. We always say you need a minimum, I would say, about $50,000 liquid, about $150,000 net worth. This isn't a no money down 2 a.m. infomercial that you're hearing on TV. And I would say you probably want to have about six months to make a decision, not necessarily open the business. But if it's going to be, we'll call it 2 years out, 1 year out, that franchise may not be available anymore. So you want to have some distinctive time frame. So those are kind of my three general things I have people kind of consider before looking at a franchise.
So do you have people that buy maybe one franchise? Like, there's McDonald's everywhere. So do you have people that start with one McDonald's and end up owning 10?
Most, I would say about 50% of the people we work with. So we work with individuals all over the U.S. and Canada. And a lot will either come in and say, I'll buy the rights to three McDonald's or three physical locations or three territories. We were talking about blue-collar jobs and what AI wasn't going to take away. So the electricians, the plumbers. So they may buy three markets with a 200,000 or 300,000 in population, and they'll develop those over time. Others will just develop them later if there's availability, basically.
So are McDonald's still hot franchises?
They are. I wouldn't say they were on top of my list. Nothing wrong with the brand, but I would say one characteristic a lot of people are looking for is zero employees to very few employees. Mm. And that is a characteristic we call it a characteristic, or just something they really want that franchise to have. So we work with a lot of brands, believe it or not, with zero employees. We have operators that own four locations of a franchise and have no employees.
Like, what kind of company would that be?
So we'll see things, salon suites, so shared spaces. Oh. Where you won't even have a receptionist.
Right.
They'll be able to come in through an app, log in, and get a haircut, then get a massage, and maybe remove a tattoo later.
Right.
Later on that you regretted from college. So the staff that's maintaining the property is a 1099 contractor. So no staff whatsoever.
Okay.
You do have a physical location, but you rely on one 1099 contractor.
I didn't even know those existed till like a month ago. And I have a hairdresser that comes to the studio, actually, mm-hmm. to do people's hair and makeup, but they want to have it done before they record a video. And she said, can you come to me? And it was a salon suite. I had never seen those before. Are those really catching on?
They're huge, yeah. Some states, New Jersey being one, has some issues, licensing and the build-outs and things like that, but they've been really big. Basically, you have a footprint and you're looking to find 20 to 30 health and wellness professionals, so not just salons, and you're helping these individuals get out of the salon, the barber shop, and get into business for themselves and manage a small suite.
So how is that different than owning an office building that has different suites in it?
This is specifically health and wellness. On the franchise side, you're getting that support. So the franchise company, what they call the franchisor, will come in, and every month they'll actually set up a mini website for each and every one of the tenants. They'll set up bill pay. They'll give them an app as well as a scheduling app. And what they'll do is they'll actually have workshops on AI, how to find your customers, how to have them come back, right? What's that marketing strategy? What's the retention? We want to eliminate as much attrition as possible. So the franchisor will actually help the tenants. And that's something being offered as a benefit of owning the franchise.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So how long does the take for the average franchise to start making money? So if you have, you're putting in $50,000, how long does it take to get it set up and running and creating income?
It's a difficult question to answer, so I'll answer it this way. Depending on what the franchise is, if it's a plumbing or painting business, even a better example, that business can be up and running in as little as 30 days. That business model relies on 1099 contractors, 0 to 1 employees, so those tend to cash flow a little bit quicker simply because you can get up and running in a month and you have very little expense. Basically, you have a marketing spend. So those could be profitable in that first year. Once you get into brick and mortar, the salon suites, the gyms, the trampoline parks, they could take anywhere from 1 to 2 years to get open. So that's, you sign the franchise agreement, wait a year or two to actually get open. Those take a little bit longer because it's a membership model. You need to build up enough members. And what you do is while that's the location's being built out, you're bringing on those members to try to get you to break even. So in that two-year mark, just say it takes you 2 years to get open, you could potentially be profitable day one if you have enough members.
So if you're investing in a franchise, you need to be able to afford the franchise fees, pay the franchisor, and then you also have to be able to sustain yourself for a period while you're setting it up.
Absolutely. A franchise is a business on training wheels. So just like any startup, you want to make sure that you have the franchise fee, you pay that once per location or per territory, and you want to make sure you have all the expenses. So what the franchisor will quote you is the startup is typically startup to the first 90 days of operation. So you have that buffer. I always tell people, fast forward 6 months out, have that cash buffer in hand, because if you are leaving your job to launch the business, who's paying your rent or your mortgage, your student loans, and all your other expenses? So you want to have that financial buffer in any business you start up. But factor in a franchise fee, averages $30,000 to $50,000. There's definitely more, there's definitely less, but that's a pretty kind of the average, I'd say, across the board. And then whatever build out when it comes to staff, to marketing.
Yeah, so who owns the real estate for these brick and mortar ones?
Typically, in the franchise, you are renting. McDonald's, their business model is McDonald's actually owns the land.
Okay.
Most franchises, they don't own the building. If they do own the building, they are setting up a separate entity. Nothing wrong with that. But we're seeing a lot of people, instead of owning the building, they're buying the rights to 5 salon suites as opposed to owning the building and running 1 suite. So we're seeing a lot of that as far as a trend. I would say less than 5% of the people we work with are actually owning the real estate themselves.
Giuseppe Grammatico with GGTheFranchiseGuide.com.
What kind of work-life balance does a franchisee have when they're starting the business? I mean, can they expect to have like a 9-to-5 job, or is it 80 hours a week?
It's a great question. When I first started, it was a lot of hours. It was probably 80 hours a week when I launched the business. Really depends on what you want your role to be. So you hear, and I'll simplify this. You have full-time operators, and then you have semi-passive ownership. For anyone listening in that hears about passive ownership, it's BS. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as passive ownership except for maybe a Shaquille O'Neal, where he has a management team. Mm-hmm. He's passive. He has a management team that's really doing everything. So for those semi-passive owners, you find a general manager, and you are essentially managing that individual, overseeing things. They call it working on the business. It is not easy. You're maintaining a full-time job, but you can run that business on the side until you're ready to leave your 9-to-5. If you're running it full-time, there's really no cap. I mean, you could pick the business based off of lifestyle. So business coaching may be more of a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday type of business. Water and smoke mitigation is 24/7. Not that you, the owner, are going to get those calls, but you have a dedicated employee, which can always leave, right? Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. But you can have that person may leave, but it could be a 24/7 gig. But the goal with the franchise is to have those systems in place, utilizing the AI, the marketing, the call center, so you're not glued to the business 24/7.
Robert Tuckman.
You have people coming to you and looking to get into owning a franchise. Obviously, you sit down with them, I'm sure, talk to them. If you feel, for instance, that, you know what, this person's gung-ho, they want to do this, but 3 months from now, they're going to be out the door? Like, how do you handle situations like that?
That's a really good question, because at the end of the day, if I were to lie to them and say, yeah, that's fine, and just be a salesperson, the franchisor is going to pick up on it, because, you know, we don't actually sell anything. We introduce each and every one of our candidates directly to the franchise brands, and the franchise brands will say, yes, you are a good fit or not. So we know, you know, we were talking about who's a good fit. Every franchise has an avatar. This is someone, for example, you need to be the mayor of the town for this restoration brand, because you need to network and talk to the plumbers and the electricians and things like that. You don't have to know anything about restoration. I worked on Wall Street and I got into building services. I knew nothing of building services, but I knew how to network. I knew how to keep relationships. So we'll tell them, hey, you know, these are the things that are needed. You're very soft-spoken. You're afraid of your own shadow, but you're great at management. There are franchises that require a soft skill set of management, right? You don't have to be a salesperson. So we'll break down, make sure they financially qualify, that they're asking the right questions. If they're asking, how quickly can I make, you know, am I going to make money, or I can only work 2 hours a day, and they're being very selective, I'll come back and say, this is probably not a good fit. These aren't necessarily the right questions to be asking. Maybe these are some better questions to ask. And if I feel like, okay, you know, I think they'll be a good fit, we introduce them to the brands, and it's the brand's job to really dive in to those financials, give them the franchise disclosure document.
How'd you go from Wall Street to this business?
I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. So in high school and college, I detailed cars. I delivered
food. So did I. That first job.
And I hate doing it now, which is funny.
I work for my friend's brother. They made us work all the time. I don't know what they were doing, but we were detailing cars.
Yes, I want to say, by the way, not only did these two guys both do the first same job, they're both dressed very similarly today.
I'm afraid to say anything else. But yeah, detailing cars. I delivered flyers. I worked at a restaurant. My family set the bar high. They're from Italy. I'm first generation. We owned an Italian restaurant for 40 years. I learned the business, but a restaurant wasn't for me. Nothing against a restaurant or the restaurant business.
That's a tough one.
Business. I have so much respect for.
How do you characterize the risk associated with starting a franchise versus starting a non-franchise business, sort of a regular small business, or, you know, launching a new product or software company?
There's always a risk. It's a business. You're making an investment. I think the risk is a lot less, but it's how you go about. If you lie to the franchisor, yes, I'm great at sales and you're not. Maybe they're newer and they don't catch on that you're not good at sales. But if you really spend the time and you do a deep dive as to what you're good at, realistically what you can invest without, you know, stretching yourself too thin. I work with a lot of people. They're like, yeah, I can come up with another $50,000. Well, where is this money coming from? If you're going to open up day one and worry about bills and not be able to make that first no payment, you're going to fail. You're going to stress yourself out. But if you truly spend the time, meet with the franchisor, meet with the founders, and actually validate, talk to at least 5 to 10 franchise owners, I truly believe the odds of making this successful are extremely high. You got to put the time in. This is still a business. They're giving you the systems. It's a business in a box. But you still have to, like, hey, you have to do 10 cold calls and go to 5 Chamber of Commerce. Very easy to write down. But if you don't do it, you're going to fail. So, and don't bother.
I want to talk about the money a little bit. So who does the taxes? Do you have to hire your own bookkeeper if you're a franchisee? How much does a franchise provide in terms of infrastructure and those kind of service professionals? And how much is on your own?
Yeah, so there's about 4,000 franchise companies in the U.S., a lot less in Canada. We're hearing more and more. We work with a handful of brands that will actually do all your bookkeeping for a flat fee, which is, I would definitely take that on, just because they're simply, the books are in order. It's one less staff member, and they can alert you much faster. If your cost of goods or something is off, they can alert you much quicker. It benefits them. They know their royalty payments that they're getting. Let's call it what it is, but they're also keeping you up to speed. But there is a small percentage, but I see that number growing. But for the most part, you are responsible for your bookkeeping. They'll give you the accounting software, chart of accounts to follow, and then you'll find a great accountant to really help you, which is hard to find.
Yeah, oh, believe me.
Very hard to find. So, I got a good one if she's listening.
So what's her name? How can people find you, especially if they want to franchise or talk to you about that? What's the best place to go?
Yeah, so our service is free. So I encourage everyone, if you've thought about owning a business, just want to learn more, go to Gigi, the franchise guide, and that's G-U-I-D-E. But if you misspell it and write G-U-I, you could still find me. I've got everything kind of forwarded. So Gigi, the franchise guide, you can download our free franchise freedom, which is my exact blueprint to helping you find a franchise. We have about 300 episodes covering every topic. It's also called the Franchise Freedom Podcast. And we have FAQs. We have blogs. Quite frankly, my best advice to you is just book a call. It's 20 minutes. We'll sit down, figure out remotely and figure out together, unless you're in the New Jersey area, if franchising may be a good fit. So I encourage you, at bare minimum, no silly questions. We'll help you figure it out within 20 minutes.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.